you're going to throw me to the four, but you didn't throw me to four. You threw me to two. Come on, guys. What's going on? We're back here at A Taste of Tech Ed. We are live at the Channel 9 stage at Tech Ed 2013. And I am joined right now by a good friend of mine, although he's not so good friend of mine right now because I'm wearing the All Blacks jersey as opposed to the Wallabies jersey, Ian Lucas.
Hey. Hey, Rick.
Are you technically on the file server team? Are you on the Windows server team? Like, where do you kind of sit in the whole organization?
I sit inside the Windows server organization. So Windows server manageability team is the team which I work on. So that has all of the inbox management tools and PowerShell and WMI and all that sort of manageability good stuff.
Sweet, sweet stuff. For people that are just joining us now or that are continuing on, in case you don't know, you absolutely can ask Ian or myself questions of any kind. Try to stay on topic with regards to server and management tools from the website channel9.msdn.com, and there's a form there. You fill it out, and then magically the producer makes them appear on some monitor over there you guys can't see, so we can go off and answer questions. But I brought you down here because you had a very interesting session that I thought that deserves a little more love and a little more airtime, and it's something that that's near and dear to my heart, and it is Windows Server Core.
Windows Server Core.
Of all, the fact that you had the inspiration, I will say, how's that? The inspiration to submit a session in Tech Ed that is just on Windows Server Core is mind-baffling, mind-blowing. So what was that like?
Well, I mean, Server Core is really, really important. So not only was it a session just for Server Core, it was also Server Core and Windows Server 2012. So we didn't have any R2 specific bits.
Okay.
But, you know, it was a session, and when I walked into the room, it was like this really large room, and I thought, wow, this might be a small audience. But it was full. There's a lot of interest in Server Core because it's such an important part of 2012 and what we're doing there.
Nice. Well, I have been given special permission. If I can get close up on me for 1 second. You can see me here, number two. Golnaz, not paying attention. There we go. I have an artist rendition of the new Server Core for Server 2012 R2.
Yep.
There you go. That's about it.
That is the Server Core experience.
There you go. Beautiful experience. Marvelous UI.
That's what a server should be.
A server should be.
It's what a server should be.
Nice. So talk to me about Server Core. First of all, in case people don't know, what is Server Core?
So Server Core is basically letting a server be what a server really needs to be. So we have a philosophy that basically says a server exists so it can run the workloads that you want to run on it.
Right.
Okay. And anything else which you don't need to do that shouldn't be on there. You want all of those resources on your machine to be focused on doing what the server's supposed to do. So Server Core is a version of server which is actually used as the foundation to build the other versions of server. But it's the sort of core guts of what you need to be able to run server workloads.
Right.
And nothing else. No UI. No UI shell at all.
Well, it has a command prompt.
It has a command prompt.
And it has PowerShell.
Yeah, there's a few things which you can do. So if you're managing Server Core on the box, you'll log on, you'll get the wonderful
experience
of a command prompt and a command prompt window. There are a couple of other little bits and pieces that you can do. So you can get, for example, you can get Task Manager up on Server Core.
And just to be clear, you also get the same experience when you remote desktop. You don't have to be at the console.
No, that's correct.
If it's enabled, you can remote desktop anyway, you get the same wonderful experience of
the command prompt.
Got it.
Yes. And of course, the first thing that most people will do is they'll take that command prompt and they'll type in PowerShell and change it into a PowerShell window so that you can do all of your PowerShell management on box if you want to do that. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, for Server Core, what we don't really expect people to do is manage on box anymore. The whole idea of Server Core is let the servers be servers and let's manage them remotely.
Right.
And whether you manage today your servers through graphical tools or whether you manage that through PowerShell, you can manage Server Core remotely using the same tools effectively.
Okay, curious to find out, because we had an Ask the Expert session last night, what were the types of questions that you got during the experts and also during your session? Because is there a lot of interest in Server Core from the community?
There's a lot of interest in Server Core. I was reading some of the questions that got logged before my session against the session guide. And a lot of people were saying, wow, I'm interested to learn about Server Core. I looked at it in 2008 R2, and you know, it felt good, and I understand the value of it, but I couldn't quite use it yet.
You're very kind.
I'm very kind, yes. I'm trying to be
diplomatic. You're very kind with the way you're diplomatically explaining now, though.
I think the actual question was, the comment was, Server Core 2008 R2 just didn't feel quite right, okay, which to me sort of felt like it's not quite there.
Right.
Not, you know, a few marbles short sort of thing.
Yeah.
and it was probably a fair comment. One of the things we invested in 2012 was the ability to move between server core and other deployment options of server. So in 2008 R2, once you decided you wanted to install server core, or if you wanted to install full server, you made that choice up front at installation time.
Yep.
And once you made that choice, you were pretty much married to it. Once you went down that path, you were stuck there.
Till death do us part.
Till death do you part.
Or better for worse, you are stuck in server core.
So, and that actually made it really hard, because as people try and transition...
People don't like being locked into one.
They don't want to be locked into one, and that makes it really hard for them to figure out what it takes to move from one to the other.
Yeah.
So in 2012, what we did is we refactored the way server is deployed. And now we have the ability to move from server core up to full server, or from full server down to server core.
Right.
And all it takes is just removing or adding or removing two features to get from one to the other. And those two features are effectively the graphical shell for Windows.
Okay. Yeah.
And then the management tool pack.
You actually kind of surprised me. The first time I got my hands on the eval bits, or the preview bits of, I guess it was called the RP back then, release preview.
Yes.
For Server 2012. I did the standard real quick, booted up inside a VM, next, done, finish,
yes.
And reboot, come up, log in, boom. Command
and
prompt.
You got
and
the
I'm
command
like,
prompt, your wonderful experience.
What? It's, where is it?
Yeah, one of the things which we changed is Server Core is now the default option
yes.
when you install.
Yeah.
So yes, if you're used to just clicking through that installation process,
read
you're
the
going
instructions
to end up,
as you
you're
go.
Going to end up with Server Core, and it might be a little bit of a shock to you.
Yeah.
Now the good news is, if you end up there, you can convert back up to full server. You don't have to go reinstall the entire process
right.
again, which
right.
is which
you can
is
go
fantastic.
And add the feature, and it's all good.
Yes.
Now you mentioned that it's out of inbox, your best way to go off is to go off and to manage it remotely, that sort of stuff. Say I just do my next install, it's done, I got a server core box.
Yep.
How do I manage that box remotely if it's in a standalone work group? What do I got
to
do?
The easiest way to manage that is to grab a client box, okay, your desktop machine.
Yeah.
Go and grab a download package called Remote Server Administration Tools.
Good old RSAT.
Called RSAT. Install that on your box, fire up Server Manager, point it at the server core machine, which you do by adding the name of that machine into Server Manager
yep.
and point it at it. And you're done.
Now, if it's in a work group, you are able to specify manage as?
Yes,
if
correct.
It is inside a domain environment, you
if,
just...
If it's joined to the domain, if you're working inside a domain, it'll just work,
yeah.
Which is you know, what we want. If you're working across a trust boundary, so in a work group, or if you even if it was a VM up in Azure, for example,
oh, yeah.
You can use manage as credentials and basically provide the credentials to the machine and then manage it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a couple of little tweaks that you might have to make.
Now, something I've always been telling people so far is when they're going to server core, you've got a smaller footprint, you've got less binaries, you have to worry about patching when it comes time for patching, reduce
yep.
stuff like that. Say I'm in a full GUI mode and I go in and I remove the full GUI and I'm now down to server core or to min shell, and I want to go and add stuff back in again, what do I do if I don't have my OS installed that's in there?
So there's a couple of things here, actually. So first of all, if you're just removing the features to bring server with a GUI is now what we call full server, by the way.
Okay.
So it's like what a server should be, but with a GUI.
Server with a GUI.
To,
okay,
as opposed that. To full servers.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
a glass half full sort of thing. So if you just remove those features, they're still on the box for you to be able to reinstall. In
yeah.
fact, when you install server, most people will know that after you install server, if you then want to go and install the role, say you want to deploy Active Directory.
Yeah.
You go in into Server Manager or from PowerShell command line, and you will go and install those AD features. And when you do that, you don't have to go off to some new install media. You don't need to use install media. And that's because when you install Windows Server, all of the install packages for all of the inbox roles and features
yep.
are put down on the box for you.
Okay.
Okay. So they're all there ready to install.
Consuming disk space.
They consume disk space. So the other thing which we've done in Windows Server 2012 is we've added a new feature called Feature on Demand. What it allows you to do is effectively remove all of those packages if you don't intend to use them. So
okay.
say I've installed a server, and I know this server is never going to be a DC. I want it to be a web server. I can go in at the PowerShell level, I can say, let's remove the AD features.
Mm-hmm.
They're already removed because they're not installed yet, but you do a remove command, and then you use a slash remove parameter
yep.
on that command. Okay, so this is an uninstall Windows features, feature name, dash remove. And what that will do is it will go to what we call the side-by-side store. This is where the installation process puts down all of these manifests and compressed binaries for installing all of the role and features. And it'll remove the roles, those manifests or those install packages for that role.
Okay.
And in fact, it's really easy to write a simple script that says, go find everything which I'm not using and remove their install packages for you. And what that'll do is greatly reduce your disk footprint, which is really fantastic. But even just moving from a full server or server with a GUI and removing the GUI packages from the installation will reduce your size on disk. Going to server pool.
A little bit of optimization and tweaking, you can go through and make a nice gold image, basically, that you can use as your new base server that's going to go off and have stuff done. Now, we do have a couple of questions I want to throw out here to you. We got Anil Mahed. I'm doing a horrible job with people's names. I apologize. Anil, do you see web servers being great candidates and file servers being great candidates, I'm assuming, for server core? And is it easy to get started?
Absolutely.
That's the biggest grapefruit question I can just throw your way, man.
Well, hopefully it's a softball. Yeah. Okay. So one of the things we're doing inside of Windows Server is we're making a big push to make sure that roles and features will work on Server Core.
Yeah.
And in fact, one of the changes to WinServer 2012 is we pretty much got most of the way there. I think there's only one inbox role today which doesn't run on Server Core, and that's the fax server role.
That's probably the fax server, right?
Yeah, it's the fax server role, and for some reason it needs some dependencies.
Because we all have so many fax servers just sitting around our offices,
correct.
I'm assuming, right?
So that means that IIS and all the file storage stuff will work on Server Core. So that's supported today. We're also working inside of Microsoft to make sure that other technologies that install on server put in support for Server Core as well. So yeah, absolutely, that's something which we want to try and push. It's also one of the takeaways I took from my session, interestingly. So as I was talking to people after the session, it became really clear to me that we at Microsoft probably need to spend a little bit more time trying to figure out how to get all of the third-party applications to go and validate their solutions on top of Server Core. So that's something which we'll go away and think about.
Yeah.
That's probably the one remaining sort of hurdle for some people to adopt Server Core.
Yeah.
So we've fixed the whole married at install time problem. Getting the workload support for third parties is important.
So quite literally, you can go in, have a box up and running with a full GUI, or server with a GUI, I should say.
Yes.
Right? That's the proper
term. With a GUI.
Get the right marketing term, server with a GUI. And then you can go in, install your third-party app, workload, whatever it happens to be.
Yes.
Do your testing, make sure it works. Remove the interface.
Correct.
Testing works, all good. Let it run. Put it into production. It's all good. 6 months down the road, you can bring it back. Put it back on again, do some tweaks and changes, and then test it and put it back. So you go back and forth though.
By making it really easy to move back and forth between server with the GUI and server core, it actually makes it easy to go test those.
Oh, good point.
Pull back on the GUI, figure out what's wrong, debug, and then try it back and forth. In fact, we made it even easier. We've talked about server core and we've talked about server with a UI. But there's actually a step in the middle which we can go to.
Yeah.
And that step is called minimal server interface. I said that there were two features that you had to install to get from server core to server with a GUI.
Yeah.
One of those features will get you to minimal server interface.
Okay.
And then the other one will take you all the way up to server with a GUI. So it's not complicated here.
You got it.
The feature which you install to get from server core to minimal server interface is effectively all a feature that contains all of the management tools.
Okay.
So at minimal server interface, you get the same wonderful command line experience that you get at server core because you don't have the desktop shell.
Mm-hmm.
But you get a lot of your on-box management tools like server manager, all of your MMCs, and you know, most of your control panels, where those control panels don't have dependencies on the shell.
Okay. I don't know if you're able to answer these ones because we haven't really talked about the products just yet, but you know, I'll come up and I'll let you decide if you want to deflect or not. But we got Bob there is basically asking.
We can answer Bob's question.
Okay.
I don't know if I can give him the answer he wants, but the question is, why is the command line still, why is cmd.exe still the default shell on server core and not PowerShell? The main reason there is that, and I hear this question a lot, is that PowerShell, although it's installed by default on server core, you can actually remove it.
Yeah.
Okay, so if we had a situation where you then went and removed PowerShell to even reduce further the size of server core, then you know, we'd have to revert back to command line anyway. But that's something which we'll probably spend some time thinking about.
How about Kirk's there? Kirk's question.
Have a look.
Sconfig converted into PowerShell for Windows Server 2012 R2. Sconfig being the extra configuration utility to be able to go off and do some stuff. Yeah. It should be nice so that you can see how it works for automation purposes with PowerShell.
I don't know if I can answer that question comprehensively. I know that we have a big push inside Windows Server to make sure that everything that you need to be able to get a server up and running on Server Core should be automatable.
Yeah.
So we've had this huge push around PowerShell over the last few years and got a lot of traction, and our surface area is actually really broad. But whether we've got commandlets which cover all of the functionality in sconfig right now, I'm not 100% sure.
No problem.
But I would suspect we'll have most of it there.
We can check that out at release preview or whatever it's going to be called.
Absolutely.
So the Server 2012 R2 was going to be available at the same time as the build conference is going to be going on. We already talked about that during the keynote, so that's when we'll be able to get our hands on it to try it out.
And to be really clear, not only will Server 2012 R2 be available, but the RSAT package, which you need to be able to manage that server, our intent and is to release that at exactly the same time.
Yeah.
And really, if you think about it, because we've got this big push towards Server Core, because Server Core is now the default, that RSAT package is really a key part of making server successful.
Let's talk about RSAT for a second here. So I'm going to put you on the spot right now.
Okay.
Server 2012 R2, it's going to be coming out. It's going to be awesome when it's in June. Is the RSAT going to be available at
the
same
time? We're on track right now.
So you're on track. You're not going to say yes or no. You're going to say you're on track.
No, absolutely, our intent is to release it on the same day.
Okay, so what is the...
Things go wrong, but...
What's the process that someone would use, or if I'm American, what's the process that someone would use to be able to download the RSAT tools once they get the release preview? Is it inbox, or is it something you have to go and do a separate download?
It's on the Microsoft Download Center.
Okay,
so you'll be able to find it up there, and... literally, we'll have someone standing by to hit the button to say go live at the same time as 2012 R2.
No, you know, I'm going to have you back if it's not, you realize.
I realize that. It'll be an awkward question.
I don't know if you can answer this one here, but this is something I come up with. I could even probably answer this one here with Sylvan saying, I've always heard that the Server Core will help reduce the number of reboots during a year because the attack surface is being smaller. We did this exercise ourselves here, and there was almost no months without at least a patch that also affects Server Core. If so, what is the benefit? And really, it comes down to it depends on what the vulnerabilities are that we're trying to protect against each other during the release cycle of Patch Tuesday, or sort of Update Tuesday.
This is a really, really good question. And in fact, I was asked this question in my session, and I apologize for not having more solid data here. When we did this session last year as part of Windows Server 2012, I know that the guy who did that session at that time had some data which suggested that it was about 90% of the patches didn't apply to Server Core.
Right.
Okay. And I sort of was quoting that figure. I think I probably went a little conservative and said 80%.
Oh, yeah.
Because I didn't have the real data. But I don't have update on that data. It's one of the things that I've taken away. And as we go to TechEd in Europe, we're going to try and have that data there by that time.
Stay tuned for that.
But it is fairly significant.
If the binary is on the platters, even if it's not in use, it needs to be patched according to the way that we do our updates, right?
If the binaries are on the machine?
Yeah, on the machine, sorry, on the disk.
Yeah, I mean, what you want is you want that when you go and install a role or feature
If it wasn't previously there, if there was a patch that affected that particular role,
that you install at the install time, you get all the patches.
Right, so
correct.
Potentially, even going through, as you're mentioning, and removing all the pieces that are not being used on that particular role might even further reduce the occurrence. So I'm looking forward to the updated data.
Yeah.
I want to hold to it. Bob, I have a fully patched server with a GUI. I remove the GUI and go into Server Core mode and then go back to full GUI. Do I need to apply all the patches related to the graphical components again? I think we actually just answered that question.
Correct. As you install those components, then you'll need to basically point a Windows.
If the side-by-side install chunk of data is on the disk, basically, when you go in and do a patch on top of that system again, it's going to see that it's there, and therefore it's going to patch.
Maybe I misunderstood your question. So let me clarify this. And this is something we talked about in the context of that feature on demand feature about servicing of the side-by-side store.
Okay.
So what happens is Windows Update, when you update those images, it will update the roles which are installed.
Okay.
But not the ones that are sitting in the side-by-side store available for installation.
I stand corrected.
Okay, so,
good thing you're here. You're keeping me honest.
Well, luckily, one of my colleagues back at Microsoft brought me honest on this one before I came to TechEd. So when you're installing back from for example, we talked about features on demand. So once you've taken all of those install packages off your box and you want to reinstall, you need to be able to point at a source to get those. One of those sources is actually Windows Update. And if you do that, I believe that you'll actually get patched versions of those things because effectively it patches on installation time.
Okay.
And there are actually mechanisms that you can use to patch the side-by-side store, but it's not automatic. Is the short answer. And in my session, there's actually a number of links that go off to a set of white papers that talk about how to go do that.
Great. First of all, are there any changes to Server Core in Windows Server 2012 R2 that you can think of?
To Server Core itself?
Like, you didn't change the color of the background or anything?
I wanted to change the colors to green on gold instead of black on black to meet the Wallabies colors.
Nice. That didn't make regression tested, I guess.
The designers rejected that for some reason. No, there's no significant changes to Server Core. I mean, there was the work which we did in Server 2012 was really significant. It was a refactoring of the way that we packaged all of the server configurations. The incremental stuff in R2 really isn't anything that's worth talking about at this point.
Okay, I see. Again, if you have any questions you want to ask, we got a couple of minutes left before we're going to be switching off and talking with Robert Green and Rowan Miller about the Entity Framework 6 in about 3-4 minutes' time.
Okay.
You're welcome to go off the website, channel9.msdn.com, and submit some questions. Do you see the one from Ed that's up there? We already answer that one there? But
I think we already answered Ed's question. This is about whether you can slipstream patches into the role that still needs to be installed, which is the servicing of the server side. And again, I'll say that there's a bunch of white papers on the web that tell you how to go do the patching of the side-by-side binaries.
Right.
If we've got a little bit of time, I'll talk about one of the other things I talked about in my session was, because the session was really about deploying Windows Server.
Right.
So I talked a little bit about inside of Server Manager some of the new deployment features that we have inside of there as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because there were some pretty significant advancements there. One of the ones I love is the one where you can install roles and features to an offline VHD.
Right.
Which is a really, really cool feature. It gives you the ability to basically say, yeah, here's a VHD. I don't want to have to go build a VM and fire up that VM to be able to install my AD or my fax server, for example.
Nice.
So I'd much rather just prep that as a VHD. So we've got that ability now inside of Server Manager.
Right.
It's really, really simple to do. Of course, that functionality is echoed at the command line as well.
Right.
And it just means that you can go and prep your VHDs with roles and features and complete that sort of install thing. And because Server Core and the features required to get from Server Core to Server with a GUI and Minimal Server are all just standard features inside of Windows.
Mm-hmm.
You can do all of that to a VHD, a raw VHD as well,
good
which
point.
Is very cool.
I'm trying to think if I have one more. Like, we've talked so much about Core. I'm surprised we talked 30 minutes about Core, to tell you the truth.
So the other big adopter, I think, to Server Core in the past. So I went in thinking there were really three things that were stopping people adopting Server Core.
Yep.
One was this installation choice. So when I make the choice at install time, I get married and locked into that choice. We fixed that.
Right, so now you can basically divorce and remarry and divorce and remarry.
Yeah, let's not use that metaphor any further. The second thing is the support of the roles and features, and we've been working on that inside of Microsoft, and I think that we need to continue working on that with some of our third party and some of our partners. And then the third one is really just this one around administration experience. So a lot of people sort of will come to me and they'll say, you know, Server Core, that means I need to learn PowerShell and able to be able to manage those things, because they see the command line prompt on the server. And they sort of balk at it and they say, oh, yeah, I'm not quite sure I'm ready for this. So the RSAT point and the ability to manage all of this remotely is a really, really important one. Effectively, the same way you manage a full server or a server with a GUI from a client experience, it should be transparent to you whether you can actually are managing a full server or whether you're managing Server Core at that point, because the experience should be exactly the same.
Right.
And that's from the graphical UI or the command line.
Right. So RSAT tools, you don't even know what type of box you're basically hitting when you're managing
these
different
things. You
shouldn't know. It should have the exact same experience across the board.
It should be exactly the same. And, you know, I think pretty much across the board it is.
Fantastic.
Which is fantastic.
Ian, thank you for taking the time to come down and chat with me over here at the lunchtime. I appreciate it.
No, it's been a real pleasure.
It's been a real pleasure, too. And I just want to say one last thing as I throw it away to Mr. Robert Green and Roman Miller for the Entity Framework 6 is go All Blacks.